It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Cut back into him and he hit him perfectly and the ball bounced out, hit Sandersfeld, and then there was about two or three great blocks by some young football players and we ended up scoring a touchdown, which created a huge, huge momentum. That when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing he shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is and it's never as good as you think it is. But, you know, the main takeaway was we played really well in the second half against a top team.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
Tonight, Jay Long in studio. It's Tuesday, our Jay Long Show once again. Season winding down fast. Just a few games left. We'll talk about the upcoming battle with Colorado Mesa here at the end of the interview, as we normally do. First, though, Coach, we've got to look back at a nice win for you. 17-3 over New Mexico Highlands on Saturday. Kind of an interesting game. Bizarre at times, that first half especially. Really, really fast football game. And, man, your defense had a really great day.
I'm just really proud of the team. I mean, it was a total team effort. Led by the defense, and I thought our defense, we came out and really just executed the game plan really well. I thought on defense that, you know, Coach Sassy did a great job and his staff of mixing up our four-man fronts, our three-man fronts, and our blitzes, and it really had New Mexico Highlands, you know, guessing on things. So we're just really proud of the guys there, and then, you know, offensively we found a way, and we found a way to get points on the board. We found a way to move the ball. We found a way to score, and you know, that was big. And then special teams wise, when you look at our stats, they weren't wowing by any means, but if you've watched a lot of film on Highlands like we had to keep the ball out of number seven's hands, and number sevens is a dynamic player in our league, and we did our job on special teams, and we took the opportunities away from number seven.
That's CJ Sims, and we'll highlight one player in particular that really did a great job on him here as we visit. Coach, 8 sacks, though, first, 4 of them in the first quarter. That's about as tone-setting of a moment you can have in a quarter. 4 sacks in that quarter, as I mentioned, 8 total. What were you able to take advantage of to get all of that pressure and really disrupt things?
You know, it was really, like I said earlier, the mixing up the fronts, the three-man front, the four-man front, and then blitzing out of both fronts. And, you know, those 8 sacks were awesome. You know, our guys won their one-on-one matchups, which is, you know, always the key. If you up front, if you can win your one-on-ones, you're going to have a really good day. And, you know, Taven Bray had an outstanding day. I don't know how many overall tackles he had, but he had 3 sacks. He was in the backfield at all times and was not only good on the pass, but also on the run, you know, with things. And then, you know, Gabe Perkins had a really big day also. He had 2 sacks and multiple tackles also, which was just huge. And then Hunter Connor's just really coming on strong as the season goes. Hunter is now a sack leader in the conference. He had two on Saturday, and I think he's had that'd give him, I think, 7 in 3 weeks.
7, if not 8, yeah.
Yeah, 7, 8 in 3 weeks. And just it's really awesome to see those guys grow and their confidence level grow. And, you know, it really just comes, you know, with that confidence as you start, you know, really getting confident in your moves and confident in your rush. And then the tackles they face, they start getting a little less confidence. So really cool to watch that. You know, not only were the 8 sacks big, also, Dave, we had 3 knockdowns out of Richard McCormack. And, you know, that true freshman linebacker that has really stood out this year, and, you know, so really cool for him to get those 2. And I think half of 2 of those knockdowns, I think they turned into interceptions. So big plays there also to go along with those 8 sacks.
Yeah, the guys you all just mentioned there, Taven up in the 8-9 tackles, Hunter in the 8-9 tackles, a defensive line leading the way with that, the great pressure. Richie is a freshman, awesome at that linebacker spot in the knockdowns, and all that pressure up front, it gives your defensive backs an opportunity to really succeed too. Quarterback gets a little flustered, scrambling around, and Brendan Bramer, he was the man assigned to CJ Sims and really locked him up. CJ, for the second straight year, one of the most dynamic players across the conference at wide receiver and returning. He had just 3 catches, 21 yards on the day. Maybe you could dive into a little bit about how Brendan and your defense made sure he couldn't get you and burn you on D.
And, you know, one of those catches, Dave, was on a fly sweep where, you know, he's really behind the line of scrimmage, and it's a 1-yard pass, and you know, he gained some yards on that on a perimeter run. But yeah. You know, just really proud of them. You know, Brandon Bramer did a great job. Also, we moved around some in the secondary. Harvey Reynolds started at corner last week. I thought that he did a really good job. You know, with CJ, we when he was out on the field, you know, we did a version of a bracket, you know, coverage where Brandon was a deep version of it, and we had our under guys with linebackers and our corners and those type of things. So it was really good for us to, you know, limit him to only three touches. And you know, when we were going into the game, that was something that one of our keys. And, you know, on special teams, he only touched the ball two times. One was a fair catch. The other was a 19-yard kickoff return. So really proud of our guys on ST and on, you know, defense of limiting him.
Head coach Jay Long on the Tuesday night Jay Long Show. Takeaways have been a big story of the season, Coach. Most of the season, though, we find ourselves on the bottom side of takeaways, but you're getting that all turned around here end of the season. Last two games, we've been on top of the takeaway situation at Pueblo, and then this week, 4-1. You had four takeaways, only one turnover, so back-to-back weeks, that's really helped your team.
You know, I think, you know, Dave, when you look at, like, the plan for you know, going into every game is, you know, we want to, you know, we got to win on defense, we got to win on special teams, and we got to win on offense. I thought that turnover ratio is so big. When you look at our team goals, that is our number one team goal, win the turnover takeaway battle. And we've starting to put that together, and that's really good. And it's also, you know, the reason why we're starting to have some success with it too. So that's also a big factor in every game.
And I think if your star defensive back, Bobby Peel, had anything to say about it, it would have been maybe seven turnovers. he was so close to a few picks the other day that had to kind of be eating him up a little bit after the game.
Agreed. And he's always said, you know, he's been such a ball hawk for us over the few years he's been here, and you know, he had his hands on a couple. I know he'd love to have back.
Defense really played so good last week. Just a great job by the entire unit there, Coach. Let's flip it now and look at the offense. What'd you like on Saturday from your offense? There was one big play in particular that I hope you can talk about a bit, is the Alante Hare 52-yard touchdown. That gave you a 10-3 halftime lead after that pass, under 30 seconds to go, and kind of felt like a changing point in the game, taking a lead into the break.
You know, going into that play, that series, they had just kicked the field goal, and there was short time on the clock. I think there was 40 seconds left on the clock, and they were going to squib kick it, and the kicker must have miskicked it, and our front line, Dylan Soule, grabbed that ball right out of the air and gave us short field position. And so we went out, and we threw the play to Alante. It was not a deep pass by any means, but he broke a tackle, and then after he broke a tackle, Ali Musa came out of nowhere and really made a huge block. We call it an eagle effort block, you know, and came out of and nowhere and just and helped it, and then Alante was able to go show his speed, and we got a touchdown right before half, which was, like you said, a big, big momentum changer. And if you look at it the week before, we talked about momentum changer, where we did not execute on that the week before, and this one did, you know, bring some momentum with that.
Yeah, good luck trying to catch Alante in the open field when he made that tackle break and was headed downfield. Great job by Musa with the block. He was gone. What else offensively did you think worked well for you? It was nice to see Dorian Collier get back in. He ran tough coming off an injury and missing a couple games.
Yeah, I thought Dorian was one of the standouts of the day. You know, offensively, I thought that, you know, Coach Smith called a really good game also. It wasn't a huge scoring game, but we kept the chains moving. We won the possession, time of possession. And, you know, we were struggling running the ball. We were having a hard time getting a consistent run. And Dorian came in, provided a spark, had averaged 5 yards a carry. And then, you know, our RPO game with our short passes, you know, kept the chains moving. And Jamal, he had a big catch on a hitch and go. We were taking short passes with our RPO game. And it presented itself where their corner bit on one of the short passes, and we threw it deep, and Jamal ended up providing a big spark play for us there also.
Yeah, that was awesome to see. You guys kind of worked that, lull the defensive backs to sleep, and then hit them deep with those play calls. Highlands, we had documented a lot last week and over the years. They're always dangerous, tough team to kind of put away. Last year, took care of it early with 29-0, but they still had a lot of yards and a lot of ways to stick around in the game. This year, really kind of the same thing in the sense that they sort of kept hanging around. They made it tough to finish them off, chances to maybe take a 24-3 or 31-3 type of lead, but still the defense held them in check with just 3 points. Do you feel like this week you want to try to emphasize or find a way to get those last couple of scores to put a team away a little earlier and take away some of the nerves at the end in the second half maybe?
Dave, the answer is yes. But at the end of it, man, we just got to find a way or make a way to win.
Yeah.
And our guys found a way to win. And when there was an opportunity, we went and made one. So I was really, like I said, proud of the guys. And, you know, we're looking forward to building off this win and, you know, this week and how it all starts, like we talk every week, with good practices. And that's what's coming up next. And we're excited to be back at home again.
Couple of days into this week of practice, Coach. We'll look at Mesa and how that's going in a minute. As we button up things on the win over New Mexico Highlands, we'll talk about the Hammer Award, the weekly special teams honor voted by the team itself. That Dylan Soul play you mentioned earlier, great, great play. He's got to be a candidate this week. What'd the team go with for the Hammer Award?
He was one of the candidates, and you know, he's been a candidate every week. He's one of those guys that, you know, is a special team starter, and he is not only a starter of it. He, like I said last week, he's the soul of the special teams. He works his works has a second to none work ethic, always one of the first guys down the field, always one of the first guys in front. However, this week we went with Trevor Wehrman. He has been terrific in our holds. And we're a little banged up at our snapper position, and it has effect. Our short snaps and our long snaps, and he has gotten that ball down terrific. So the team wanted to reward him for that, and he's going to be carrying out the hammer this week. So I think the last quarterback that's carried out the hammer was Patrick O'Boyle, and that would have been about 14 or 15. So that tells you that what the team thinks of Trev. So awesome.
The last quarterback as a holder to carry it out?
No, the last quarterback to carry it out as a special teams player.
Wow.
Was Patrick O'Boyle. He was a guy that was our long. He was actually our long snapper. And he also was on kickoff, and he was on our 2-point conversions. Heck, I think he's on punt too. He was on punt as our long snapper. Take that back. He was on kickoff return, punt, kickoff. He was on them all, Dave. long story short, he was a terrific player for us.
Yeah, he did. He did a lot, and man, Wehrman getting honored. That's great. The team rewards him. He's been able to really take care of those snaps, get him set down for Gunnar Jones. So congratulations to Trevin Wehrman. Terrific, the team honoring him. Now the injuries and the health, Coach. A couple of guys come out banged up last week. Just trying to stay as healthy as you can to get through the end of this season. And one of the real key players for your defense this year has been Hiamasi Lay too. He came out, didn't finish the game. What can you update us with on Masi and some of the others?
He hasn't practiced yet. We'll know more here as the week progresses. After he met with the team doctor yesterday, but we'll know more as the week progresses, and I'll be able to tell you more on our Saturday meeting. But
okay.
We're back to being beat up again, and it's just like every other week, and we get healed up and then we get banged up, and we are at the end of the year where we have 2 games left, and there's a lot of games, a lot of practices the guys have been putting in, so we need to be smart with them this week in practice. We need to balance where we can still execute our game plan, be physical, but also be as healthy as we can possibly be. So that's the focus for the week.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about that in the past, right? At these last few games, how much peel back on the hitting and things do you do for the final 1 and 2 games of the year as your preparation moves forward?
This is something that every coach is a little bit different with things, and every year you're a little bit different with things, Dave. One thing you do rely on is when you're younger, you do need to hit more. When you're a younger team, you need to hit more because you have to put your guys in the most closest game-like situations as you can, so they can learn about those things in practices rather than live in a game.
Yeah.
And the more veteran team you are, the more you can back off on things. And and the more, you know, also smart you know, you are, the more that your team just naturally has that football senses where they can pick things up easy and they can react easy and they can also, you know, be football players, you know, in the game when things adapt and change, they're able to adapt and change with it. And, you know, right now, you know, like last year's team, we were really veteran and, you know, we were able to back down on our hitting a lot towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right now we are in that mix of things where we have a day where we hit, and then we have a day where we back off. We have a couple days where we back off. Today is our day where we hit, and after we have met with the doctors on Monday and we talk with our trainers today, you know, we are going to limit our reps a little bit this day. Then we'll go back tomorrow against our scout teams, and then we'll get back to our reps there. So it's just that balance. And Dave, the biggest thing is that I don't know if there is a right answer. It's just what is the best for your team. So that was a long answer, long version. But like I said, at the end, you just got to find out what is right for your team. And I still really like our guys. I really like this team as a whole. They're good kids and they're fun to be around, and they work hard. And when you have that, it makes things so much more enjoyable.
Yeah. Striking that balance has got to be a challenge, like you said, every year and even week to week through the season. And you get a team coming in next, Colorado Mesa. It's usually a pretty physical game with Mesa. They've got some strong and talented kids. Yet you want to come in fresh, but you don't want to not hit and be ready to play a team like Mesa or have some of the tackling issues you see colleges across the country go through when they don't practice tackling and such. But let's look at Mesa. They're coming in, as I mentioned, physical. They're usually pretty talented. It's been a real war with them at times here over the last several years, and a fun matchup once again this season, it looks like.
Their coach is a brand new coach. He was a defense coordinator at Colorado State Pueblo for a while, and he's a good coach. He's got the team, you know, he's got them coached up. They're disciplined, you know, defensively wise, and he's a defensive minded head coach. They play really hard. I would say this. Similarities wise, they're similar, very similar to a Western State type of defense. They play really hard, you know, front wise and coverage wise. They're real similar to what we've just seen for the past, you know, 3 weeks in regards to CSUP. They keep that model of their defense, you know, year to year. And then New Mexico Highlands also ran the same fronts. So that's good for our offensive line to be able to, you know, have a consistency of seeing the same fronts for the past few weeks. And then, you know, on offense, everything revolves around their quarterback. Their quarterback is really a great player. He's I would say one of the top players in the conference. Very, very dynamic. He can run. He can throw. And I assume he's a great leader, you know, with things also. He's a kid that, you know, has been there 2 years now. He transferred in. And, you know, Dave, it's kind of a weird, you know, in our league, I think there's only two quarterbacks that are, you know, that are I guess, raised, you know, through the program from freshmen to seniors, and
yeah.
Western State has one, and Colorado School of Mines has one. The rest of the quarterbacks in the league are all transfers, so it's, you know, kind of unique, you know, with that. But he's a really good player. He came from a 9-man school in South Dakota. Another side fact is that coach actually coached Coach Sasky in high school. So
wow,
kind of crazy, you know, with things. But
yeah, everything's kind of tied in. It's amazing, and you definitely have your eyes on that one game breaker type. It was CJ Sims last week, Karst Hunter this week with Colorado Mesa, and the transfers looking up and down their roster getting ready for the game. It is heavy transfer D1 guys on there too, including the quarterback came from South Dakota State, so you're gonna absolutely face another talented squad.
Yeah, you know, last year when their head coach left, a lot of the guys, you know, he was heavy transfer coach. He had a lot of transfers from, you know, grad transfers and that. So the Mesa job got hired a little bit late, and, you know, so I know that he from recruiting against him right now, it looks like he's going to go the high school route. But you know, this year, you know, when you get hired late, that, you know, you go for transfers, and you know, he's put together a roster of you know, both high school and transfers. But I think his future is that he wants to go the high school route.
You've got to plug and play when you're hired in late in the cycle. But interesting that a CSU Pueblo former assistant coach, now the head coach at Colorado Mesa, keeps that Armac continuity going there and some similarities from what you've seen, I'm sure, with Pueblo over the years. Can't wait for the matchup, Coach, and to get into the details with you on Saturday morning. Our pregame starts at 11:15. Coach is going to join us with all the insights into the game from the Eagles' perspective for you, and then we'll kick it off at noon. Eagles and Mesa on Double Q Country. Jay, thanks again. Another great show. Really appreciate you coming in, sharing thoughts with the fans, and good luck this week in practice. Get them healthy, get them ready, and can't wait for kick.
You know, thank you, Dave, and also just on a side note that, our Win Eagles Dare was a great turnout. I think there was only like three seats open, so it was awesome, and really a good time, and I really want to just thank everyone that came to that and everybody that supported the Eagles, because that is a really big for us in regards to scholarships and budgets and those type of things. So thank you, everybody, and go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268. Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.